GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump's to sign two executive orders to reinstate U.S. military service members removed for refusing the COVID vaccine and directing the Defense Department to determine a policy on transgender service members based on readiness. The U.S. and Colombia reach an agreement over deportation flights. ABC's Karen Travers.
That could have had a devastating impact on their economy if that tariff had gone into effect. The president also threatened that in a week he would raise that to 50%. The Colombians said that they would put in their own tariff in response, but this is not a trade war that the Colombians want to get into, that tit for tat with the United States on this, given how significantly they rely on this country for trade.
The Trump Justice Department says it's fired more than a dozen employees who worked on criminal investigations into President Trump. Ceremonies today for International Holocaust Remembrance Day, exactly 80 years after the liberation of Auschwitz. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. On February 15th, Theda Clark Medical Center in Waupaca will cease all maternity services when it shuts down the labor and delivery unit. Friday, members of the Facebook group Save Our Waupaca Labor and Delivery protested the hospital in an effort to save the maternity services. The hospital claims labor shortages and increases in the complexities of maternity care have driven more people to use ThetaCare in Neenah to deliver their babies. ThetaCare has said the community pushback will not change their decision, and the maternity unit at ThetaCare Waupaca will be closed. In August of last year, just days before he turned 6 years old, Lincoln Menny died when he was struck by a truck while riding his bicycle in Fond du Lac. Now his mother, Rochelle Reby, is working to require non-trauma center ERs to be notified and updated on accident victims, even if they're supposed to be taken to another hospital via Flight for Life or a similar service.
Because he was supposed to go straight to flight, the paramedics didn't notify the hospital that they had him, so they knew nothing about him. They didn't know age, what happened, the injuries, anything else like that. So I want to make it a law or protocol or whatever that even if they think you're going straight to the flight, that the ER at least be notified so they at least have an idea in case you have to come in.
Reby said that while Lincoln would not have survived his injuries, Lincoln's law would make it less chaotic when severely injured persons arrive at a non-trauma center ER and might save a life. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.FM.
The Bucks are in Utah. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks road trip continues tonight against the Jazz in Salt Lake City, Utah. The Bucks losing to the Clippers in L.A. over the weekend. 127-117. Bobby Portis was not there. He was out for personal reasons, a family matter. Portis has missed only one other game this season, back in November due to an elbow injury. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a win over Nebraska, 83-55. Badgers guard Kamari McGee and the Cornhuskers coming back after being down 19-2.
Game of basketball is it's a game of runs. So we know like teams are going to throw a punch back. No team is just going to get hit and just sit there and take the punch. So we knew that they were going to respond to how we came out talking like it's okay, like just weather that storm. Got to keep moving forward. And we did.
Hockey, the Wisconsin men's team with a good performance against number 10th ranked Michigan in a two game series. The Badgers winning the first one 5-4. Game two ended in a 4-4 tie in overtime. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper teens to around 20. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, maybe an early flurry with some sunshine for the afternoon. High temps into the mid-30s. And mostly sunny for Wednesday. Highs, low 30s.
Currently, it's 37.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. Every day, ZipRecruiter helps people who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hi, I'm Michael Friedman, CEO of Simple Life Hospitality. Let us take the hassle out of vacation rental property management. We'll maximize your earnings and handle every detail from cleaning to maintenance and repairs. For guests, enjoy a stay that feels like home with hand-selected properties, personal touches like local recommendations, and extras like concierge service that will make your trip unforgettable. Whether you're a homeowner or a traveler, experience the Simple Life. Visit SimpleLifeRentals.com.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Tuesday's show, Greg Thompson, American English Show at Waverly Beach, and Kerry Josephson from The Walk to End Alzheimer's.
And we'll talk the Movo Center with Kathy Compton, the new Galaxy exhibit. Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9. 97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM. Broadcasting across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for hanging out, tuning in, playing along with us. You can be a part, 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell, Harvey K. He's our favorite Delano Democrat. He's a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, it's always a pleasure. Welcome back.
This is the highlight of my Mondays.
Monday? Well, the whole week, man.
Well, at least absolutely. But if I think about it like that, then I long for the Mondays.
Longing. I love it. Harvey and I will text each other throughout the week. And so we always have lots and lots to talk about, Harvey. But before we get into some of the executive orders and the actions of this administration, as we were preparing for the show today, he asked, where are the Dems? What are the Dems doing? And I threw this one out there from the Washington Post. Democrats flipped the script, eyeing debt limit to block Trump's agenda. Now, generally, that'd be the Republicans who would hold, you know, that kind of leverage over the Democrats. And apparently there's some folks that are thinking that well, now is the time for the Dems to maybe hold that over the Republicans. Obviously, that could be calamitous, but my understanding, hell, man, the Republicans are telling America there's going to be a little pain. You're just going to have to deal with it. There might be some inflation. Maybe coffee's going to go up. Eggs aren't going down. So, you know, too bad, so sad, get over it. I don't think the Dems should necessarily be as concerned. And I say that, of course, people are concerned when things are hard for people. I get that. But that's not of the Democrats' making. This is a Republican administration. Republicans can get things done if they get the votes and get things happening. They're not gonna. What's your thought of the Democratic Party, you know, standing up, be it the debt ceiling or some other major piece of legislation that the Republicans are gonna need those Dems on? I think they should play super, super, super hardball. Gloves off, Harvey K. That's what I say.
Well, you should point out that when you brought up that question of the Dems playing hardball by blocking some, you know, what is it? It's what
the
it's
debt the, limit. The debt limit. Yeah.
The debt limit. That was instigated by my saying, "Well, where are the Democrats?"
Yes, okay. Where are the Democrats?
I'm stupid. I should have checked. How many Democrats would have to cross the aisle to enable the Republicans to
get something done? Well, I think if the Republicans, given that it's a budgetary issue, that the Republicans all are in unison, they could get it done. But there's those hardcore Republicans who have never, ever voted for a debt ceiling raise. Yeah, so if you assume some of those cats are never going to do it anyway, they have to come to the Democrats to get anything done in that regard.
You mean lifting, the hardcore guys wouldn't lift the debt, or men and women would lift it. Yeah, I mean, what do I think of it? I think anything that shows the Democrats are there and trying in some way to make a difference over the horizon in people's lives is a good idea. Of course, I can imagine, in one sense, I can imagine Trump saying, okay, yeah, well, we'll shut the government. But as you and I have already observed, shutting the government is not a popular thing to do.
Yeah, lots of Republicans won't get their Social Security checks, Harvey K. That's not going to, you know, imbibe them to support this party, if that's the case.
Oh, wait a minute. I get Social Security checks. Hold on a second. No, but seriously, it is striking. The Democrats should stand up on and make life difficult for the Republicans.
Yes, I agree.
However, I hope they're smart enough, really smart enough and dynamic enough to get a message out as to why they're doing it. Now, we're not just doing this to obstruct government. We're not just doing this basically to embarrass the Republicans. Right. We're doing this because we have a vision and an agenda. And if we don't start challenging the Republicans, think of the nightmares that will ensue from all of these executive orders. I will say this was interesting to me that when FDR, I always go back to FDR, took power in 1933, when he was inaugurated, the first 100 days became legendary, not just famous, but legendary for the kinds of initiatives that were launched. But they were launched by way of congressional votes. They were legislated. Okay. We now have, and this is what makes it seem so horrific. We now have this slew of executive orders that have come out during this past week, which range from both the most serious kinds of things, like challenging the Constitution on birthright citizenship, rounding up people to deport them. I mean, serious stuff, as well as, to me, seriously silly things, such as the Gulf of what? America? Yeah. Okay, I mean, that's ridiculous. Our allies, nobody in the rest of the world is going to make that change in their vocabulary, right, in their atlases or otherwise. And there are some other silly things, but too much of it is very, very serious. So it's important for the Democrats to start making noise about the fact these are not legislative things,
right,
legislated things. These are executive orders that threaten the very meaning of democracy. I mean, they should really get out there and be... They've got to start pitching why.
Yeah, and certainly, folks are listening to the Dom Salve Show. That's Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. As it pertains to the debt ceiling fight, I think that's pretty easy. Well, you know, the only reason Republicans want to raise the debt ceiling is so they can fund the tax breaks for the wealthy. We want to make sure that, you know, that Social Security and Medicare are viable and for the future. That's, you know, and angle it and put it in that respect, because come on, man, there are way more of us than them, Harvey. I don't understand how this is so lopsided. The many over the money, man. The many can always beat the money if they, you know, speak with one voice.
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, what I'm getting at is they need to be already making that message heard. And right now, I mean, the only thing people know right now about the Democrats, if they know anything at all, is the fact that they've got this inside the party election going on, which seems to be coming down to the head of the Democratic Party here in Wisconsin, right?
Right. Ben Wickler.
Wickler, mm-hmm, versus Ken Martin, the head of the
Minnesota.
It's as if Wisconsin's playing Minnesota in that. What is the award? The Paul Bunyan?
Oh, yeah, the Axe. They play for the Axe.
yeah. So, I mean, as long as we can get the message out there as to why we're doing this, because, you know, the Republicans have a very, very loud megaphone that they're going to be shouting, look, these are the obstructionists. And they're going to depend on people not remembering who their obstructionists have been all these years.
Well, isn't that part of the fire hose of activity, is to keep people bouncing side to side, one foot to the other, trying to figure out what's going on? It's just a deluge of BS. In the meantime, we're jumping around. They got their hands in our pockets, Harvey K.
It's funny. As you said that, I imagined the emoji on my phone that would fit that image. And there's one that where our heads are banged. It's like a head is going back and forth on the neck. One would have to sort of press it like 100 times to really get to the image of Americans' heads bouncing.
And we need to be cognizant of that, to not fall for the shiny objectism and stay focused on what matters. And it's relative to the people who are observing the activity. Does it matter to you, Harvey K., that every single Democratic senator condemned Trump's pardoning of the January 6th insurrectionists?
Yeah, it is amazing to me that there weren't more Republicans willing to join in
more or any. or any zero man. They're all.
It was zero. It was absolutely zero.
There are no senators, Republican senators. No.
I had this fantasy that the former head of the the former heads of these parties would. Well, there are Republicans around the country, but not where it's important that could sign up for that vote, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
No, horrific. Absolutely horrific. By the way, and let's be clear about what that implies, those pardons. He's released these folks who stormed the Capitol, invaded the inner sanctums of the Capitol, and threaten to hang the vice president of the day, who was a very conservative Republican.
He's still a Republican.
Sorry. Yes, indeed.
I mean, I'm telling you, Harvey. If I may interject, if I'm a member of a party and they all want to hang me,
are you sticking around?
I think I'm going to start another party, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go there, man. What?
Right. I don't want to belong to any party that wants to hang me. How's that for?
That's such a low bar. My God.
Right.
Folks who are listening to the Diamonds.
I was going somewhere
with
that. Sorry.
All right, go ahead.
I was going somewhere with that. The point I was trying to get to is the fact that that's the creation of what in Italy were black shirts and in Nazi Germany, brown shirts. That's how you make this paramilitary force out there representing a threat. And let's not forget that vast numbers of people actually didn't get to vote in some places in this country, because there was coercion used against them to vote. Greg Palast, a journalist, has a strong point to make that, in fact, those kinds of activities might well have cost Harris key votes in states.
Yeah, Greg's been on the show in the past, and, you know, you take 10,000 here, 50,000 there, a few thousand there, add them all up over on voter suppression. Yeah, that can certainly have an impact on the result, and that's kind of the point. It's always pressure, Harvey. I mean, that is the concern that we have. Are you satisfied with what we've seen so far? Right, coming out of the Democratic Party is a pushback against this administration.
No, because we still do not have a real, if you like, core of leaders who are speaking on behalf of the Democratic Party. Okay, I don't think Schumer and Jeffries are dynamic enough, determined enough, and some of the remarks they've made I find absolutely upsetting. Okay, and
you know, no. Now see, I think Schumer is a little softer than Jeffries. I think Jeffries got some can be dynamic if he chooses to be. What do you remember specifically what Jeffries? I'm sorry.
Well, there was something about it was something about, you know, placing our hope in God. It was something along
that
those
was
lines.
Jeffries. Yeah, you texted to me, man.
That was Jeffries.
Come on, Jeffries.
I don't mind it. I mean, you know, freedom of worship, but don't presume that God is going to intervene, or otherwise Trump wouldn't have won.
Yeah, maybe the devil intervened, Harvey K. Here's what Hakeem Jeffries at Rep Jeffries tweeted out. Presidents come and presidents go through it all. God is still on the throne. And my buddy's comment was, hell of a strategy. That's not a strategy. I mean, sure, but what are you going to do about it? Doesn't God help those who help themselves, Harvey? Come back with us. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. We'll get to some of your calls as well. 855-752-4842.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
A teenage anarchist looking for revolution. I had the style, I had the ambition. Read all the offers, I knew the rough slogans. There was a war, but the class.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, our favorite Delano Democrat, with me today. Go ahead, Harvey.
Jess, you hear me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do me a favor. Whatever that song was, send me a
you
link.
You got
to
it. That was Teenage Anarchist by Against Me.
Oh, that, I got to put that on my Spotify. <to go. laughs>
I'm like, I'm a middle-aged anarchist.
It doesn't have quite the same
ring. I wish I could call myself middle-aged. But I've never called myself an anarchist, but I love the Chumbawamba. I mean, they were anarchists. No, I loved you. I used to love it when they played Chumbawamba's You Can Knock Me Down, whatever.
Yeah.
At Lambeau Field.
Right. You know what you're listening to? We're listening to Harvey K. Once again, he's a professor emeritus of democracy. We still love democracy in this country, right? Right? From the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. I got some callers going to get to you as well. 855-752-4842. Our pal from the leftist coast, L.A. Tom, you are up. Happy Monday, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, happy Monday, Dom. Harvey, I want to ask you, how is it that we can get two questions? One, how is it that we can get more people calling up and we can actually develop a strategy with all our senators and representatives on the Democratic side to say, I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat? That's my first question. And my second question is, how do we get these politicians to stop saying, I don't take money from lobbyists, I don't meet with lobbyists, like AOC says? Why don't they just say, I want to fight to get money out of politics? I want to fight to get lobbyists out of politics. I would have a much more pleasurable message and going towards those people if they just said they want to get money out of politics. Even if they take it right now, I'd rather them say, I want to get money out of politics and do it that way rather than I don't take lobbyist or corporate money. It just doesn't really seem to do anything to people.
All right, great questions, Tom. Thanks for calling, Harvey. What do you think?
I'll start with your second question, Tom. I would love to see controls on the monies in politics. It would be great to have public elections, but our opportunity to get that kind of change passed us by. There wasn't a moment when you had the likes, say, of McCain and Feingold working together to control those kinds of, you know, resources polluting our politics. I don't see that happening now. But to go back to your first question about how do we get more people saying, I am an FDR Democrat? Well, I would love that. I wish we could have had Bernie saying that.
Yes.
The two times that he ran. I think that he would have actually found himself even more votes had he done so, because people might well have run from his democratic socialist language. The only thing I would tell you is that, and maybe this is not going to happen as much because we're supposedly moving out of the woke era, right? There are a lot of people who don't want to say FDR Democrat because it conjures up images of the days of still of segregation, or it conjures up the image of the internment of the Japanese Americans. I mean, there are reasons people do not want to use the term FDR Democrat. Having said that, I mean, I'd be more than happy to call myself a New Deal Democrat or something like that. But I'm more than happy also to say FDR Democrat, because to my mind, if I can just, I sent this to you as well, Dom. FDR said very clearly in the introduction to his volume, 1938 volume of public papers, "I have always believed that, and I frequently have stated that, the Democrats can succeed at the polls only so long as it continues to be the party of militant liberalism." And what did he mean by that? It is clearly, if you look closely at other things he said and at the policies and legislation he pursued, it means social democracy, okay? Not simply liberalism, though liberalism itself is unfortunate. It's taken on the lack of, it's actually lost its aura. But that I think is essential for us to be talking in those terms. Yes, Tom.
855-752-4842. You know, the fact, the money in the politics thing, a few things, the lobbyists. I think we have the right to address our government, right? I mean, if I have a problem with X, Y, or Z, I can go to my legislator and lobby for changes, right? That is the action. Now, there are paid lobbyists, got that, understand that, would put, you know, do that for different organizations. I think that's appropriate. I think that is, you know, there could be a group of labor. You know, hey, we represent a lot of labor. We want, you know, these kinds of changes made to the laws and you know, whatever the case may be, we have the right to redress or address the government as a matter of our constitution. So I think that's okay. Now, the big problem is not the lobbying, not the asking, right? It's the delivering of the money that becomes a bigger problem. But wouldn't the value be, you know, really, hey, I can deliver these votes. You know, shouldn't you be able to persuade, if you're going to be a lobby for a position, to say, here's our position, here's why we want it, and here's the folks that are going to come along in this manner to push this. And if you support that, they will support you. Right? Is that like old fashioned to me, or is it all about just, you know, money in a duffel bag, Harvey?
Yes, that is old fashioned. But being old fashioned is okay by me. I may be a radical, but I'm a radical in an old fashioned way. I'm not a reactionary. Let's get that clear. Let's not lose touch with that word, reactionary, as opposed to radical. Radical was progressive. Reactionary really did want to go back to the kinds of things Trump would love to drag us back to.
But to your point on radical militant liberalism. I want to dive into that a little bit more on the other side. You're a smart guy, man. How does that pertain to today's environment in today's language? If things kind of change over time, as you mentioned, I want to get a better handle on that. And folks, we want to hear from you as well. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey, on the other side as well, I want to get your take on how Donald Trump is seemingly taking a regular day's work and making a big deal out of it. 855-75-CIVIC. Come back with us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is inviting individuals with a passion for promoting agriculture to apply for the position of the 78th Allison Dairyland through January 31st. As one of the most widely recognized marketing communications professionals in Wisconsin agriculture, Allison Dairyland travels extensively promoting Wisconsin's agricultural industry and its impact on the state economy. In this highly visible and fast-paced position, Allison Dairyland serves as a full-time spokesperson, cultivates relationships with television, radio, and print media outlets throughout the state, writes and delivers speeches at events, and uses social media to tell the stories of Wisconsin agriculture. Additional duties include developing and executing marketing plans, delivering classroom presentations, and networking with industry professionals. Alice must also learn and retain information about the diversity of Wisconsin agriculture and be able to tailor that information to educate both urban and rural audiences. Alice and Dairyland applicants should have an interest in Wisconsin agriculture, public speaking experience, and at least 3 years of experience, education, or training in communications, marketing, education, or public relations. Applicants must also be female and at least 21 years old. Oh, and most importantly, a Wisconsin resident. To apply, provide a cover letter, completed application form, resume, and contact information for three professional references to datcpalice@wisconsin.gov. Application materials are available on the Allison Dairyland website. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Really good actors are supposed to be fearless. Leonardo DiCaprio is typically one of them. That was not the case, though, on the set of Django Unchained. During a recent interview with Vanity Fair, Jamie Foxx recalled DiCaprio, who played a ruthless slave owner, had trouble saying words that were racial slurs, even though he was in character. According to Foxx, Samuel Jackson put DiCaprio at ease, saying, like only Samuel Jackson can, "You can say that, mother." DiCaprio got the point. If you've got $150 million burning a hole in your pocket, consider purchasing Tom Brady's house. The amazing quarterback and mediocre commentator is selling his mansion in Miami. Don't worry, renovations are done, and they must have been doozies, because he purchased the home in 2024 for $17 million smackers. Not many people pocket $133 million on a sale. Anyone interested in pretending to be filthy rich and taking a tour? I'm in. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, to low in the upper teens to around 20. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, maybe an early flurry with some sunshine for the afternoon. High temps into the mid-30s. And mostly sunny for Wednesday. Highs, low 30s.
Currently, it's 37.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Hey, it's Amanda with your new Wisco 411, and who's ready to jump into an icy cold lake? Come on, it sounds like fun, right? A polar plunge is a Wisconsin rite of passage, and one's coming up sooner than you think. February 22nd at Prokopsky Boat Launch in De Pere. You can join a bunch of other brave and exciting souls who are ready to take the plunge, supporting more than 1,400 athletes of Special Olympics Wisconsin. Go ahead and register now. Go to WGBW.fm, click events to find out how.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, friend and colleague Maggie Dawn joining us at 10:33 to talk all things Wisconsin. We will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Yeah.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey K., Professor of American Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me up until the 6 o'clock hour. You can join us as well, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey, as we went to break, you had quoted something you texted me earlier this week, I guess it was just yesterday, regarding FDR. Quote, "I have always believed that, and I frequently have stated, that my own party, being the Democrats, can succeed at the polls only so long as it continues to be the party of militant liberalism," quote unquote. Militant liberalism, man, it sounds like a lot of marching and getting up early and wearing boots, Harvey. I don't know about that. So what does that mean to you, and how does it pertain to today?
Okay. Something that we don't often hear about FDR is the degree to which he really was trying to, in quotes, overthrow the Gilded Age that had begun in the late 19th century and had been under assault by the capital P progressive movement, both of Republicans and Democrats, in the first part of the century. However, after World War I, the Gilded Age ruling class, the corporate bosses, what he actually called the titans of industry, FDR called them the titans of industry, who he said had basically captured control of too much of American life. When he was running for office in 1932, he gave a talk at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, which is a rather elite venue to speak in. And he laid out a sort of thumbnail history of the United States, in which he said, look, we were founded with a promise made in the Declaration of Independence, but in our eagerness for economic and industrial development, we've allowed these industrial titans to usurp, to take over the powers that should belong to the people. And basically, I'm paraphrasing, stomp on the rights of Americans. So he actually called for, in that address at the Commonwealth Club, a new declaration. He called it an economic declaration of rights. And you've heard me talk about an economic bill of rights. If you look at FDR's 12-year presidency, it really was constantly this effort to enhance the small d democratic, I repeat, rights that Americans possessed. And he rooted those rights in the Declaration, in the idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And he said, look, what does it take to live? And what does it take? I mean, you could talk life, right? Okay. But what does it take to live? Okay. Food, clothing, and shelter at a minimum. But as America advanced, the needs increased, but the availability of the resources for working people did not always increase or were not always enhanced. What does liberty demand? Well, as he said very clearly on several occasions, a poor man is not a free man. Okay. Freedom requires capacities. You need to be enabled so that a certain kind of income, a certain kind of living is essential. So life and liberty are essential. And the pursuit of happiness, well, how the hell are you going to be able to pursue happiness
right,
if you don't have the wherewithal to do it? So to his mind, you had to take life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as a fundamental idea of the American promise and ask what is required in this day in which we live. And thus he called for an economic declaration of rights for the forgotten man, those who had been left out of the Gilded Age power structure. So to him, militant liberalism was a pursuit of a politics that would both afford working people what they would need for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and empower them to secure it at the same time for themselves, which meant ultimately empowering them with the right to organize as a labor movement, empowering housewives in the 1930s to be able to stand up to businesses that were price gouging, even in the midst of the recovery from the Depression. So militant liberalism is a politics that enables and empowers working people. I have little doubt when I say that that's what he had in mind.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvi Show. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And that's what I was looking for, Professor, and thank you for that. Now, it seems like we're kind of right there again, man. You know, I mean, when you talk about the titans of industry having too much control, and I see, you know, Trump's billionaire cabinet. You know, so do you think that we are essentially back in that space, or did we ever leave?
Well, in fact, this is interesting. Between the 1930s New Deal years and the early 1970s, there was a significant enabling of people and a significant empowerment of people. Now, what I mean by that, for a start, even though the rich got richer in the course of the 40s and the 50s and into the 60s, so too did working people. And inequality actually decreased from about 1938 to about 1973, perhaps. But as I've said before here, in the early 70s, the corporate bosses, not unlike they tried to do to FDR, but failed in the 30s, the corporate bosses organized because they were afraid that the social movements of the 1960s and the persistent strength of the labor movement was going to, that democracy was going to weaken their capacity to operate as capitalists. It was already underway, the regulations, the taxation, and all of that. There were interviews done, and this is fascinating to me, major figures at the New York Times and elsewhere were interviewing corporate leaders and asking them, you know, what do you see as the fundamental problems in America today? And there were those who said the fundamental problem is democracy. They had come to believe that democracy and capitalism could not coexist. And by the way, I would love to ask that question of Elon Musk today, okay, bluntly. I think he's made it fairly apparently clear as to what he thinks is essential. I just, you know, can't get over the fact that we have forgotten the degree to which from the early 70s to the present day, the corporate elite has sought to create, and we've called it the second Gilded Age already. In fact, if things go as Trump and his team of billionaires seem to want it to go, we'll enter not just a worse form of the Gilded Age. We probably call it the Golden Age.
It's the Golden Age is what he's referring it to now, Harvey.
So is he going to invite everyone up to his golden apartment in Trump Tower?
Yeah, man, they're already, you know, the whole mega's meeting down at Mar-a-Lago to figure out their one big beautiful bill. You got his treasury pick saying, number one, we don't need to raise the minimum wage, and number two, the biggest crisis facing America is the expiration of the Trump tax cuts. Oh yeah, by the way, he's a billionaire. You know, so we're right back. I mean, whatever was going on with FDR, yes, that it's right here, right now. And if I'm hearing you right, Harvey, it was the enabling and empowerment of everyday voters seeking their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that pushed back, that enabled this to claw some of the resources and wealth back from the top 1% of the 1%, as Bernie Sanders would say. What does that mean today? The enabling and the empowerment to pursue the life, liberty, and happiness. How does that translate to today's action, in your opinion?
Well, for a start, it was in, I got to get my years right here.
A lot of years, man.
Yeah. The first time Obama was elected was 2008, right?
Yes. Sounds
that's
right.
That's when the labor movement had requested the Employee Free Choice Act. And the idea of the Employee Free Choice Act was to make labor organizing possible in places where it had been blocked, and also to make it easier getting workers to sign on as opposed to their fear of the employer.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Obama did nothing to pursue that. Nothing. And keep in mind, in that first year, the Democrats had, a veto-proof majority. In that first year,
yeah,
did nothing.
Yeah.
Then, and so ever since then, the Democrats have talked about doing something about it, but they haven't fought to make it possible. And of course, their control over Congress is nothing like it was at various times in the past. So that's one thing. Another thing is that, as you've seen me argue many times, and I've written articles about it, and even produced a comic strip with Matt Strackbine, the letter hack, democracy, if we're going to save it, we need an economic bill of rights. The majority of Americans want an economic bill of rights. When will the Democrats come out in and declare themselves in pursuit of an economic bill of rights? Hell, FDR started with that as an idea and closed on that with an idea. And although he didn't pursue the, he knew he couldn't get it, you know, by 1944, but along the way, he created the kinds of legislative, you know, enactments that basically began to enable and empower Americans in favor of then pursuing the formal economic Bill of Rights.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Let's get some callers in. Wisco Paul, you will be next. Welcome. Happy Monday, Paulie. What do you got for us?
Thanks for taking my call. It's a little concerning to me. It was, I think it was today that the president signed an executive order to ditch the Inflation Reduction Act, which has a lot of things in it for seniors, for drugs cost and several other really good things in it, and also to get rid of the infrastructure bill. And this was bipartisan. Now, he signed an executive order, and what I've learning so far, no Republicans are going to stand up against this. So I ask you, with everything that's went on up to this point, the defense sector, well, I don't want to get too far off the track here. It doesn't seem to me there's anybody that's going to stand up against anything this man does. At least it's for sure not going to happen in a Republican Party, and they control all levers of government. But this is a big deal to sign an executive order on two things that help out the middle class, the people he said he was going to help. So I just like to ask Harvey, I don't know this, how this could even be possible, why anybody would even want to do this. It's just, I'm beside myself. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Paulie, of course. Harvey, what are your thoughts?
Well, obviously, why do they want to do it? Because they want to be able to turn around and pass or sustain the Trump tax cuts. Okay. I mean, the guy's sitting behind him in the rotunda at his inauguration. Folks like that, they're like Trump whisperers. You know, they're horse whisperers, and they're probably whispering in his ear, don't forget the tax cuts, the $1 trillion tax cuts. Okay. I could take it up a little more.
I get that. Harvey, what about
but let me just add one thing. And the only thing I want to add is this. These are the kinds of things that at least the Democrats should be now raising. There ought to be TV ads, billboards. There ought to be a way for the Democrats to say, we believe that if we could take back the House and the Senate, okay, in 2026, we can start restoring America. We can start taking back America. They have to start campaigning for 2026.
But don't they have to define what that does for the American people? Look, I mean, Donald Trump ran and won on the economics, and Donald Trump hasn't done squat in the first week to address the price of eggs
almost certainly made them more expensive.
He certainly made the coffee more expensive, given the Columbia kerfuffle, I'll call it, Harvey. And come back with us, 855-752-4842. My question and concern is the knowledge base of the American people. Number one, paying attention, you know, and it's hard to fight when you're barely getting by, you know, and to be able to articulate and specify what, if you put us in power and give us these controls, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. Well, we saw Obama go to power, and he didn't exercise those kinds of powers that he seemingly promised. There are a lot of disappointed Obama voters as well. So I'm concerned about the wherewithal of the American people to digest history, number one, and to you know, filter through the fire hose of issues and events that just constantly barrage us. We're going to constantly barrage you. Come back with us one last second. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
And welcome back to the Dom Salve Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 855-752-4842. Love it when you tell us something good in this segment. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Before we get to the Tell Me Something Good segment, Harvey, your thoughts on us. You know, on us as a society and our ability to digest and wean out and govern ourselves rationally, man.
Well, I remain a romantic. I continue to believe that Americans deep down carry with them this ideal of what it means to be American, which literally, if properly engaged, would reject the likes of Trump and MAGA.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I got tattoos on my arm that say that. Life, liberty, and my existence. Me, I am the pursuit of that happiness that I seek, and people shouldn't be able to, that we've got to protect those, you know, that right of life, liberty, and happiness. And I feel like we're not necessarily handing the power, but our lack of engagement, someone else fills the void, man. And usually, unfortunately, it's billionaires and folks that are cashing those checks doing that. 855-752-4842. Thoughts on that, Harvey?
And you are, and I have to tell you, I've done a lot of radio shows over the many years. You are, without a doubt, the most uplifting voice.
Oh, Harvey! Buy something good for the day. A wonderful compliment from my friend Harvey. Thank you, man. It means a lot. Come from an old cat like you've been around, man. I appreciate that. How about you, Jess? You got anything good you want to share?
Yeah. This weekend, I went dancing with my husband. The world is scary, and we needed to dance. So that was something good, being surrounded by people who were also feeling all of the things, and decided to come together and dance about it. That's my something good.
And I'm going to do a little plug here. Mad Planet. Yeah. I love Mad Planet. River West, Milwaukee. Check it out.
It is a place removed from time.
It really is. Was there sometimes they do contests like, Janet, Michael Jackson
versus
Prince.
No. It was just
a dance off.
Just
yo?
A dance off, open requests. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good for you. That's awesome. Yeah. 855-752-4842. Northwoods Terry. Go ahead, Harvey.
I was going to say, I what I said to you was not my planned good
no,
thing.
No, I get that, but I'll take it, man.
But I do want to say, before we leave today, I have something very important, that two items that are really good.
Oh, you big tease. All right, Nora, Terry, you are next. Harvey's going to hold off to the end. Welcome, Terry. What do you got for us?
Well, that second football game yesterday was really good.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Well, and I guess I'm okay with the Chiefs advancing with Taylor Swift and her bowl, Travis.
Yeah, the brothers. Yep. The other one's the announcer now. Yeah. I was entertained, Terry.
Yes. Second thing I got, can I get serious for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
Five presidents that helped the middle class. I just read this article yesterday in between football games. The five were JFK, LBJ, Clinton, Eisenhower, and my brain went blank here.
How about FDR? Was FDR?
There it is.
There.
The obvious one. Thanks, Dom.
Hey, Harvey. All right. Thank you, Terry. Harvey, you got to love that. Lori, also from the Northwoods, Northwoods listeners. Thank you, Lori. Welcome. Tell us something good.
My something good is that even though Trump is trying to do away with drug policies that Biden has put in place, the medications, new medications that Medicare has agreed to pay for this year, cannot be taken away from people if they have insurance that has started the first of the year and covers that. They are safe for those drugs until the end of the year, until the beginning of next year. That's my good news for people.
All right, Lori, I was unaware. Thank you for enlightening me and the audience. 855-752-4842. Okay, Harvey, I want to give you some time. I know you got a couple. Lay it on us, brother.
Okay, this is a joint one. Okay, as you already have figured out, I'm sure, my historical heroes are Thomas Paine of the American Revolution and Franklin Roosevelt of the 20th century. These are my political heroes. This week, every year, is a big week for me. This Wednesday, January 29th, is Thomas Paine's birthday.
Nice.
This Thursday, January 30th, is FDR's birthday. So I get to celebrate not mine, but Thomas Paine and FDR's birthday back to back.
Nice.
What do you do to celebrate those birthdays? Ask.
Good question. What do you do, Harvey?
I haven't. This Wednesday, we're going to probably have sushi in honor of Thomas Paine. And on Thursday, my good buddy John.
How is sushi in honor of Thomas Paine?
Yeah, well, he probably never tasted sushi, but he probably did eat raw fish somewhere along the way. And then on Thursday, my really best buddy up here in Green Bay, John Shelton, the labor historian, vice president of the American Federation of Teachers here in the state, he and I will go for our drinks on Thursday late in the day and celebrate FDR's memory and legacy.
Oh, most excellent. Will those be adult beverages? And what's your poison if you pick one, Harvey?
We used to go for beers, yeah. And then I decided that there was too many carbs there. So we will drink bourbon.
A little bourbon, my
straight
man.
Straight bourbon? All right.
Harvey K, thank you so much, man. It's always a pleasure. I mean it, to hang out with you and have these conversations. Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Thank you, JustPS, for all that you do. Thank you to our callers, our audience. Thanks for hanging out with us. Now stick around. Pete Schwabba Nightlight is coming up next. And don't forget, tomorrow it'll be overtime with Maggie Dawn. Tune in. Thanks, Harvey.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and founder of Chip's Money Tips, Chip Chinnery, and filmmaker Nathan Demming, who is touring Wisconsin to promote his film February. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Taking a victory lap 1 week into his second term, President Trump in Doral, Florida.
We halted all illegal entry. We have successfully ended catch and release, and we're deporting 100% of all new trespassers apprehended at the border.
The chief executive retreat with House Republican lawmakers. The Justice Department firing over a dozen officials from former special counsel Jack Smith's teams that prosecuted President Trump, say officials to ABC News. A mid-afternoon security scare at the U.S. Capitol, ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
Pictures from the scene show officers blocking access to the south door of the Capitol near the House chamber and huddling over a bottle and other assorted evidence on the ground. Capitol Police say the suspect claimed to have a Molotov cocktail and a knife. That suspect was quickly taken into custody.
Social Security monthly benefit drops are going up about $50 in inflation adjustment. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale.